Wow, wow, wow. Happy birthday, Impact Church. Give yourself a big happy birthday. Good to see you today. Now, 14 years it's been since we merged our church into Impact Church. Of course, Impact has been going for longer than 14 years. It's 20 years this December, I think, that they've been in the building here. And lots of things have happened over the last 14 years. It's been a big journey, and the good news is the journey goes on and on and on and on. Thank you for that big award applause there. Goes on and on and on is what the journey does. Welcome to church today. Good to see you, and particularly if you're new during the Easter season, really good to see you returning and have you among us and with us today. All the guys, don't forget the men's breakfast. Register as quickly as possible for the men's breakfast. Pastor Darrell will be in the foyer with his boys, getting names and getting everyone registered as quickly as he possibly can straight after the service. Speaking of Easter, we're talking about What Now. That's the current series that we're in. And we're in this series because we just did Easter, and, you know, we celebrated the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. And I was thinking about how all that played out for the disciples, for the God followers in the actual real time. We get to see it historically. We get to read about it historically. But when you live something, it's much, much different. Living it is a different experience. Seeing it is a different experience than just reading about it. And so we kind of tried to put ourselves in the position of understanding what it would have been like for the original followers of Jesus to be in that moment of seeing him crucified and losing hope and losing sight of the fact that Jesus had said he would rise again. They didn't understand that was really going to happen, so they thought when he was crucified, that was it. But it really wasn't it. It was just the beginning of things. Then he rose from the dead, and they got all excited because they thought he's going to establish his physical kingdom now in Jerusalem, and we'll be his little princes, and we'll put into play the master plan for the kingdom of God. And of course that didn't happen because Jesus went again. He took off. He ascended back to heaven. And what an amazing moment that was when Jesus ascended to heaven, and he'd been talking to them about that moment. He answered this question: what now? You know, we all have what now moments. What now moments? What now moments look like and feel like what we feel like when we go through a transition. Maybe a relational transition, maybe a career transition, maybe a financial transition, maybe a health transition or something like that. And we all find ourselves asking the question, what now? And that's the question that Jesus spent 50 days answering. He spent time answering this question before the Holy Spirit would come. The promised one is who Jesus said he was. The one that was to come and be their comforter and to walk with them through all aspects of life. And Jesus answered this what now question by talking about two things. He talked about the kingdom of God, and he talked about the coming one, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he spoke in very clear and very practical terms to them about this. He said things like this: I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you alone. I won't leave you to your own devices. He spoke of this. He said, there's another one coming whom my Father will send. And so what Jesus is doing is he's laying the foundation for how the kingdom of God would operate. This is one of my favorite kind of, if you call it a topic, topics to speak on, is the Holy Spirit. What I love more than anything is I love the opportunity just to break down thought and break down theological concepts, big concepts about God, so that we can all grasp it, so that we can understand it. Because I've been around for a while. Who's been around for a while? It's not my first rodeo. And so I've rode in a few. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I've heard a lot of people speak about the Holy Spirit, preach about the Holy Spirit, talk to me about the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's pretty weird and wonderful and fanciful and not very much scriptural. And so I really get excited about the opportunity to break down the scriptures, particularly with what Jesus said about the coming of the Holy Spirit, to help make it clear for people, to help make it practical for people, to help make it functional for people, to help make it workable for people. Because if it's not workable, if it's not functional, if it's not practical, and if it's not clear, then I don't think we've really got it. Because God didn't come just to give you a feeling. God didn't come just to give you an experience. He came to give us an empowerment for life and to change our lives. Jesus said he's come to give us a whole new way of living, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. So it's really important that we get an understanding, a practical, functional understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what the Holy Spirit does. Last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit in terms of the Holy Spirit being the invisible, tangible presence of God. And we talked about that because it's important. Like when I say the Holy Spirit, or to use the language of the King James Bible, the Holy Ghost. When we talk about the Holy Ghost in church, just even that name, that title, it can sound a little bit out there for people. Like people are okay with God the Father. They're okay with Jesus the Son who died on the cross. But the Holy Ghost, that just sounds a little bit strange to some people when they first come to church. So the way I explain it is that the Holy Spirit is the invisible, tangible presence of God. He can't be seen, but he can be felt. You might not see him with your physical eye, but you can see where he's been. You can see what he's doing in the world today and in our lives today. If you've ever felt God, that's the Holy Spirit. If you've ever felt those God nudges, those God impressions, that's the Holy Spirit. I had one of those this week. We sat down, we had the opportunity this week to sit down with the Federal Treasurer, which that opportunity doesn't come every day of the week. And so some of our team sat down with Dr. Jim Chalmers, who is the Federal Treasurer here in Australia, in our cafe. He came to visit us, which is amazing. So he came and gave us about 45 minutes of his time. We sat down and we talked about Impact Care Services, our local charity that we run here, and everything that we're wanting to do in our community. So we gave him a little bit of history. We talked about the different charities that we run, how we're wanting to impact locally here in our city and our community, and we're wanting to do some big projects. We talked about what we're doing overseas globally through our other charitable, which focuses on global work. We talked about our new charitable company, Logan Community Events, which will run Light of the World. It's the biggest fun family festival held here in Logan that attracts about 6,000 people to it. It's amazing. So we just put it all on the table. And we're talking to him about our plans, and we're throwing in statistics, and Heath is bringing statistics for this and what's going on in the community and in the nation. And Dr. Jim, he's just taking it all in. And Pastor Marichelle's talking about some of the concepts of what we'd like to do for the women within our city. And we talked about not just being a church that does what we're doing right now. What we're doing right now is so, so important. This is so important to be the church like this, to be the church gathered. But our church is not confined by these walls. There's another boundary. It's another boundary for us, and it's a boundary of our city. And so we want to pastor our city. It's our village. We live here, and we want to bring change. So we spoke about some very big projects that we're working on, that we're making application for grants on to bring change in our city, where Logan City could be a model for things that could be developed across our nation. And what we did was we reminded Dr. Jim that in his inaugural speech to Parliament in November 2013, he used those exact words, that he said that Logan City could be a model and an example to the nation with the change that could happen in our little city right here. So I reminded him of those words, and we talked about things, and he took a few notes and said he might speak to some people. So I want you to pray. I mean, we pray, don't we? We're people that pray and believe in faith. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for God's favor upon that conversation. I want us to pray that he won't forget us, because we're going to remind him. So we sent him an email. Heath drafted an email. We sent an email to them straight after the meeting to remind them of everything that we'd said, our briefing notes, all the statistics, because apparently he likes statistics, and go figure, that's why he's a treasurer. And he likes all that data and information, so all that has been thrown at him. But the really exciting thing for me was this, is I introduced myself as being the senior minister of Impact Church, also the CEO of a number of the charities that we run. And I really wasn't there, though, to be the pastor in that moment. I was there as Tony, the CEO, in that moment. But at the end of the gathering, and we were told he was pressed for time. We thought he wanted to rush away, so we were trying to get through things as quickly as possible. He then asked me this question. He said, "So tell me, Pastor Tony, is there a word from the scriptures that you'd like to bring for me today?" Now, he's a non-practicing Catholic, and there's lots of non-practicing Catholics around. So when someone sits in front of a pastor and says to them, "Is there a word from the scriptures that you want to bring to me today?" How many of you know I'm going to bring him a word right then and there? It's coming. I don't know where I'm getting it from, but it's going to come. And I just, the Holy Spirit was all over that moment. It was a special moment. It was a moment to sit down with one of the most important people, if you talk of it that way, in terms of position in our nation, and look him in the eye and tell him a little bit about the Word of God. And so I said, "Have you heard of a man called Nehemiah?" Nehemiah in the Old Testament, probably one of the most famous of all the Old Testament characters, Dr. Jim. Nehemiah was a city builder. Nehemiah was a man that rebuilt the city of Jerusalem when its walls had been broken down, houses had been destroyed, the economy was just decimated through the Babylonian captivity, and Nehemiah was the wine bearer, the cup bearer for the king. And he appeared sad in the presence of the king, and the king said to him, "Why so sad?" And he said, "Well, let me tell you a story. My city, I want to go back to my city. I want to build my city again." And he had previously just prayed to God and said, "God, would your gracious hand be upon me, and would you send me to my city so that I can finish do the rebuild on our city and restore Jerusalem, and I ask that the king will be favorable to me." And so he stands in the presence of the king and says, "I need trees. I need trees from the forest. Would you write a letter?" And the king wrote a letter, gave him wood and trees to rebuild the city walls and to rebuild houses, and got the project started. And it took 52 days because a man that was called came to a man that was commissioned, a king, and asked him for permission to rebuild, asked him for resource. So Dr. Jim, we sit in front of you today and we're like Nehemiah. This is a Nehemiah moment right now. You are where you are because God has placed you where you are. This is not about politics. This is about leadership in our nation, and you are anointed by God to do what you do, and we are coming before you to do what we do, which is we are rebuilders. We want to rebuild our city, but we need the empowerment to do that. So we're asking you for some money. And so we threw a figure on the table, and we're just going to pray that God in some way will make a way for that to happen. You know how it works, that he would talk to his people and his people would talk to whoever, and those people would make it happen. And that's how things work. And we pray for the favor of God, unprecedented favor. That was a Holy Spirit moment. We as a team sat back just after it happened and we were like, what happened then? Because we weren't expecting that. We were expecting a clinical, informational, transactional meeting that turned into a ministry moment. That turned into a ministry moment. And thank God for that. What now? What now? I love the fact that God works in mysterious ways. I love the fact that God doesn't work according to an agenda. I love the fact that a non-believing person can ask a believer a question and it's a setup by God and the Holy Spirit for that moment to bring some instruction and some inspiration and just for God to do something in those moments. So I want to continue today talking about the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about some of the things that the Holy Spirit does. And I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is not just about an emotional moment. And there's nothing wrong with emotional moments. We all need emotional moments. We all need emotional movement when it comes to the feeling of the presence of God and that experience. But behind that, layering that, we also need to be informed. We also need to have understanding. We also need to have an awareness. Otherwise, you just fall for every trick that comes along. And I don't think that's the way God ever intended us to function, because some of the things I've seen, I've questioned. Have you ever questioned some things that you've seen? Yeah. Only Marichelle. You ever questioned some things that you've seen and thought, I'm not quite sure about that? It's actually okay to say that. It's okay to feel that. It's okay to think that. And if you're wrong, God will help you come into a posture of understanding. Because there's things we don't always understand about God. And I certainly don't want to put God in a box. But I want to say this, that my position on things is this, is that the more spiritual you are, the more practical you are. The more practical you are is an indication of your spirituality. So what now is the question that we're all asking. John 14, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give another advocate or helper or comforter to help you and to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Jesus was with these followers for 3 years as their teacher. They followed him. They were on his team for just 3 years. Then he ascended to heaven. But when he spoke of the Holy Spirit, he said, the Holy Spirit, the one that's promised, the one that's coming, he will be with you forever. Forever. He's never leaving. I'm going, and he's going to be here forever. If anyone's ever told you, taught you, instructed you that the Holy Spirit no longer works in our world today, that that time has ceased, that it's ended, can I suggest to you that that's a misunderstanding, that's a misrepresentation of what Jesus directly said and what the Scriptures directly teach about the person and the function of the Holy Spirit. The moment the Holy Spirit's out of here, we're all out of here. The moment he's gone, we're all gone, because he is here forever. Jesus is referencing the eternal nature of the Holy Spirit here, in that he will never be leaving. The presence of God Almighty in the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. If you're a doubter this morning in terms of whether God is with you this morning, can I just encourage you? God is with you forever. The Holy Spirit is with you in all things. He's never leaving you. He's never forsaking you. You're never going to feel like an orphan. You're never going to walk this journey alone. God is with you. God's still working. It's not about feeling God. It's not even about seeing God. It's just understanding that he's working. He never stops working on our behalf. In actual fact, God already lives in your what now moment. He already lives in your what now moment. He's already working in your what now moment, which poses the question, I wonder what God's doing that you're not aware of. I wonder what God's up to that you're not even aware of yet. You don't feel it, you don't see it, you don't even know it, but he's got something that's got your name on it just around the corner that you can't see. I wonder what it is. Have you ever lived with that excitement? Like that excitement at Christmas time when you were a kid, knowing there was a present, knowing there was a gift, but not knowing what it is, but it's packaged, it's labeled, it's prepared, it's got your name on the card. Church, can I suggest there are things that God has got prepared for you, put away for you, hidden from you. It's not hidden from you so you won't find it, it's just hidden for a perfect time. Because there's a time. There's a time to receive the things that God has got for us. And this is the kind of thing that the Holy Spirit does. He works on the God surprises. He works on the God plan. He works on the God path to keep us going the right way. So here's some simple thoughts today. Everyone say simple. had one of my friends send me an email this week or a text message. A very, very dear and good friend of mine. We grew up together, went to Bible college together, in ministry together. And for some reason, he listened to me preach. And it was on Facebook. And he sent me a message and he said this. Because many of you know, I've been telling a story recently about my new zero-turn mower, which I put in the gully and nearly snapped myself. I had been telling that story. So he sent me a message and said, you can't ride a zero-turn, but you can still preach a pretty good message. And I sent a message back to him and said, I'm not sure I can do either well. But then he said, no, he said it was simple. And I said, do I get offended with that? He said it was simple, but it was practical and it was real and it helps people. And I thought, yeah, I should be proud of that, because that's what we want to do with the Word of God, is break it down so it's simple, so it's practical, so you can put it in place. Not like when you buy a zero-turn mower and there's no instructions. They give you a manual. They don't warn you. I mean, those things are lethal. Most dangerous thing you could ever drive, those things. The Holy Spirit's not like that. There's a manual. There's a book that speaks to us and shows us everything we need to know. So here's some simple things. Firstly, we spoke about this last week. I want to get to it just for a moment. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's your helper. He's my helper. He's our helper. He's on your side. Can we just settle that? The Holy Spirit's on your side. He's not, you know, it makes all the difference when you know someone's on your side. Yeah. They're not against you. You may have people in life you're questioning. Oh, I'm not sure they're on my side. I'm not sure they got my back. I think they're behind my back, and I can feel that. It's good to know when someone's on your side. The Holy Spirit is on your side. He's not your condemner. He's not waiting for you to mess up. He's not waiting for you to goof up. He is actually on your side. And what he's trying to do is bring our lives into alignment with the plan of God. Because there is a plan and he knows what it is. We don't always know, but he knows. He knows the plan. So he tries to bring you onto the plan of life, onto the path of life that God has destined for you and designed for you. And people come into your world and into your life, and they're sent by the Holy Spirit, and they are connections to help keep you. That's what church is for, to keep people connected, gathered on the path according to the pattern and the plan of God, that we would be helping each other. So this is the kind of thing that the Holy Spirit does. And what he does with us is he just waits for us to be ready. He waits for us to be ready. You see, the Holy Spirit's always ready. He's always ready. He's always willing. He's always waiting. He's just waiting for us to be ready to do the plan. And so my question to you is today, are you ready to do the plan? Thank you. Are you ready to do the plan? Are you ready to do the path? Because that's the question that God and the Holy Spirit ask of every one of us, because he's committed to leading us in his plan. The point is this, is the Holy Spirit is our helper. And these verses that we just read, let's go over them again. They say this. Jesus said, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another advocate to help you, your helper, and he will be with you forever. And then he calls him the Spirit of Truth. So the second thing the Holy Spirit is to us is the Spirit of Truth. And Jesus says in another chapter, just two chapters on, he says, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, all truth. And he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. I'm so thankful we have one that leads us in truth, because truth is so much under scrutiny nowadays, particularly in the last decade. I mean, I've lived my life for decades and decades and decades, and a lot of truth was never really questioned as dramatically as it is being questioned right now. And everything we believe in the faith community is being targeted, is being, there's like undercurrents. There are questions around all of it with the thought of truth. Truth is under attack at all layers of life. Truth is actually up for grabs in our day and age. And in many ways, it's being redefined. And that's not to negate that there are things for us to learn, but there are some truths that we should never play with because they are truth. If it's truth, it doesn't change. It doesn't change from generation to generation. It doesn't change from culture to culture. It's truth. Whereas in our day, we're encouraged to kind of design and create and form and adopt and embrace our own truth. And you hear it spoken all the time. People speak of it as my truth. My truth. Well, the trouble with my truth is this, is I think we give those words, that phrase, more power than they should have. Because it's not really my truth. What people are really saying is, it's been my experience. My experience. My experience and my story is not necessarily truth. It's my journey. It's my experience. Because sometimes my journey has gone a certain way, not because of truth, but because of me. Anyone ever done anything dumb in this room? Anyone ever had a stupid moment, a silly moment, a goof-up moment, a muck-up moment, a brain snap? You've done something not too good in a moment. Well, that's not your truth. That's your experience. It's your experience. And the consequence of the choices you made is actually the way that choice has been referenced by truth. Truth is layered as absolute. It works for everybody, whether you're male, female, young, old, black, white, doesn't matter what language you come from or what culture you come from. You see, truth is not negotiable, it's not circumstantial, it's not cultural, it's absolute, it always works. It's truth. And Jesus says here that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, that He will come and He will speak God's truth to us. And He will lead us in a way that is always consistent with God's truth. You know the Holy Spirit card? Some people play that every now and then. Oh, the Holy Spirit told me this. And I've had people say that to me. And I said, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure there was too much holy about that. I'm not sure there was too much Holy Spirit with that revelation, because that doesn't line up with God's word. That doesn't line up with the principle, the parables, the promises, the truth of God's word. It doesn't seem holy to me. That seems a lot of flesh. That seems a lot of carnal. That seems a lot of natural. It doesn't seem like it's real Holy Spirit to me. And so the Holy Spirit card that some people, just because someone says the Holy Spirit told me, or just because someone says God told me, or God said, it doesn't mean God actually said it. It often means I imagine it, or I think it, or I want it, or whatever, as opposed to it being truth. When God speaks, there's no doubt that God speaks. When God speaks His truth, there's no doubt about it. And God's recorded a lot of His truth in His word for us, and we have it as a more sure foundation, the Bible says, than anything else. As a more sure foundation than any prophecy that's given. Just because someone prophesies it doesn't mean that it's 100% the word of God from God for us. It doesn't always mean that. And I in no way negate prophecy by saying that. I'm just saying sometimes human beings get a little bit of flesh involved in what they do. Can we just understand that? In all regards, preachers, pastors, apostles, prophets, whatever you want to call them, that we have personalities, and some of us have more than one, we have personalities that God works through, and it's that mixture. And so we need to be very careful when it comes to truth. And here we have the Word of God, which is our truth, and we're told the Holy Spirit, He will lead us in all truth. Like some people say, well, I'll give when the Holy Spirit tells me. Well, He's already told you, honey. He's already told you. He's told you in here. He's not going to come and visit you and sit down with you and have a cup of tea and discuss your giving plan. He's not going to do that. He's told us. He's given us clear instructions about those things and about how to live. That He is our Spirit of truth. Thirdly, He's our teacher. He's our teacher. Jesus spoke of it in John 14, said, these things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So in other words, the Holy Spirit will reinforce everything Jesus said. Because Jesus said he's just like me. So he will come and reinforce everything that I've said is what Jesus has said. He will teach you all of these things. One of the ways the Holy Spirit teaches us is that he teaches us things that will help us grow. He teaches things that will help us be better people. He teaches things that will help us get to being the best version of us that we could possibly imagine. And the best version of us is found in walking the plan and the path of God, in relationship with God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, fulfilling the purpose of God for our lives. That's the best version of us. The best version of us is not living on the Gold Coast in front of the water with your Lamborghini in the garage of your 16-mansion home. That's not the best version of you. God has a bigger and better plan than that for every one of us. Although I wouldn't mind living on the Gold Coast. Don't go there. The Holy Spirit teaches us what we need to learn to grow. In other words, he makes us stronger in our faith. Stronger in our faith. He helps us deal with our blind spots. He reveals our pride, our selfishness, our envy, jealousy, strife, anger. He deals with all that junk and he puts in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, all these things that he wants to build into our lives. It makes us better people. He works on our nature, he works on our attitudes, and he works on our behaviors. And you might be thinking, well, he's not working much on my husband. I'm looking straight ahead at the moment. He's not working much on my wife. He's not working much on my friends. This is how it works. Every teacher knows this. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. So when you're ready, the Holy Spirit's ready and he's there to teach you. The problem is not everybody's ready to be taught. Not everybody's ready to be taught. Every school teacher in the room knows this. They go to school day in, day out, and they sit there with kids and teenagers, and they know that not everybody in the room is ready to learn. They're in the classroom, yes. They have a bag, yes. They even have a textbook, yes. They have electronic devices, yes. They have a brain? Yes. They want to get a job and a career? Yes. Do they want to learn? Maybe, maybe not. There's a lot of pretense that goes on. And that's the reality for us as believers. Not everybody wants to learn. Some people are just comfortable with where their life is at and what their life is, and don't really want to grow, and don't really want to expand, and don't really want to do the things that God has told them to do. The Holy Spirit is ready when you're ready. If you want to be taught, you'll be taught. The Holy Spirit is like that school teacher that sees that keen student, that leans in, that is wanting to be in that moment, that is wanting to understand that concept, that is wanting to break it open and apply it and go on and become better and bigger and brighter. That's what the Holy Spirit looks for. It's like me when I preach a message. I'm scanning the room looking for that person that's leaning in, that's absorbing, that's like a sponge, that's smiling, that's applauding, that's just, thank you. I had to get there. I'm not looking at the person that's scowling at me. I'm not looking for the person that wants to get out of here and just go. I'm not looking at that one. I'm looking at the ones that smile. Because there's an empowerment. There's an absorption that takes place. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He waits for us to be ready and for us to be teachable. And so my question is, are you ready to be taught? Are you ready to be led? Are you ready to let the Holy Spirit do the things that the Holy Spirit can do? Because he can make you everything that God wants you to be and you want to be if you'll allow him to teach you. One of my favorites and my last one, and we'll have our team come to stage, please. The Holy Spirit is our reminder. He's our reminder. This is such a practical thing that the Holy Spirit does. Jesus said he will bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. He'll remind you. Why do we need reminding? Well, we need reminding because we just forget things. Anyone in the room forget things? I forget things all the time. Forget things. We become forgetful. Like when you get in a tough moment, you can forget how good God's actually been to you. You can forget the blessings. You can forget the favor. You can forget the doors that God has opened because of that one door that's not open yet. You let one bad day ruin 360 odd good days. We forget. We forget how good we do have it. We forget how gracious God is. We forget that He's forgiven us our sins. It's one of the reasons we have communion on a regular basis, is to reunite with that thought. It's all about Jesus. The life we have, the life we live, is all because of everything that He did. And so the Holy Spirit, He's our great reminder. Like He reminds us of things. I never cease to be amazed at how the Holy Spirit reminds me of a verse in the Bible at just the right time. Or something that somebody said, or an amazing sermon that I once preached. And I'll remember a thought from it, just to bless somebody. I mean, when the federal treasurer asked me, "Do you have a word for me from the Bible?" There is so much that floods into my head at that moment. So much that I could have said. So much that I wanted to say. But I knew I had 3 minutes. And it's hard for a preacher to preach a message in 3 minutes. It's hard. It's very hard. So I didn't have time for all the build-up. I just had to get straight to the point. And I had to tell him that he is like a king. And that's what I said to him. I said, when Nehemiah came to the king, he came to the king of Persia, the most powerful king of that time. And I said, "Jim, you're in a powerful position. And as a believer and as a man of faith, the Bible tells us that governments are placed by God and we are to honor our leaders and we are to pray for them. So I believe the hand of God is upon you, Jim. I believe He's anointed for you to do what you do and to be who you are." Because I wanted him to understand who he was, because I know who I am. So I said, "We come to you like Nehemiah, and we want to rebuild our city because we love our city, just like you said you loved your city, Jim, in 2013 when you gave that speech in Parliament as a 35-year-old rookie." And I asked him this question. This is brilliant. Sometimes, do you ever amaze yourself with your own brilliance? Like, it wasn't me, because I'm just amazed, Heath. I'm amazed at my brilliance sometimes. Because preparing to sit down with the treasurer is not an easy thing. We as a team devised a bit of a plan and a bit of a strategy, but I really didn't know what I was going to do until about half an hour before we did it. And so I reminded him of aspects of his speech. It's always good to use someone's words back to them. And then I said to him, 11 years on, Jim, after making that inaugural speech, you're going to deliver your next budget in 2 weeks' time. What burns in your heart for our city? What still moves you for Logan City?" He grew up in a family where his father left when he was 14 years of age, lived with a single mum in Logan City. Like many other stories, the same in Logan City. He knows the brokenness. He knows the loss. He knows the hurt. He went on and developed a very, very successful career and is obviously a very influential man. But this is his city. This is his backyard. And I reminded him that he loved it and he loves the people of it, and so do we. And that's why we do what we do. We're not trying to do what he does. He can govern. We will rebuild. And so we ask the kings for their favor. We ask for their favor. You know, there are moments that the Holy Spirit sets up like that for all of us in life, when you will sit before people or contacts or connections that you have, and the Holy Spirit will remind you of the things you need to say. The Holy Spirit will bring to your memory in key moments. Can I ask you just to trust the Holy Spirit? trust him. And you can trust him when you know that he's there to be your helper. See, some people just live scared of the Holy Spirit because they think he's like the policeman in church. He's going to pull you over with a big blue light and a siren every time you sin and put you in the sin bin. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. He cares for you. He's your helper. He's your teacher. He's the Spirit of truth. He's your reminder. And so I just want to remind the church that the Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus said, I'm sending to be my helper. I'm sending to be the helper of my people. And I was thinking about that little exchange that happened as Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit descended. And in my mind, I play weird games in my mind. It's kind of like a tap out, where the Holy Spirit taps Jesus out and Jesus goes back to heaven and the Holy Spirit comes. And I wonder what the words were that were exchanged at that moment. I wonder what the Holy Spirit said to Jesus. Like, you know, I'll take it from here. I'm going to look after these people. I'll be their helper. I'll be their Spirit of truth. I'll be their reminder. I'm going to be all these things to them, Jesus. I'm going to lead them in the path. I'm going to keep them according to the plan. They're going to fulfill the promise. That's why Jesus said, go and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the disciples got together and they conducted a prayer meeting. And they gathered in that upper room. And then the Bible talks about in Acts chapter 2 how the Holy Spirit literally came in that moment on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible uses the language, he was poured out on all flesh. He was poured out. He was poured out, and it was a supernatural moment as God filled people with his Spirit. I can imagine the Holy Spirit saying to Jesus as they're kind of crossing paths in the heavenlies, I can imagine the Holy Spirit saying, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. I can imagine the Holy Spirit saying, you're worthy. You're worthy. You see, the Holy Spirit is a Spirit of truth. And Jesus said he doesn't speak of his own authority. He speaks of me. He speaks of mine. He speaks of what I've said to him. And so as he passes the lamb, because you've got to imagine, Jesus left heaven as the Son of God who was to become the lamb slain before the foundations of the world, literally getting slain on the cross. And as Jesus returns to heaven and they pass in the heavenlies, I could just see that exchange. You're worthy. You're worthy of it all. And I exalt thee. I exalt thee. And he came and he filled men. And he filled women. They spoke in other tongues. And they were empowered to be representatives of Jesus to change the world. You know, I think the way that we attract and that we become more aware of the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit is just by being in those moments of real worship. That's what I think. I think he's drawn to it. I think he's drawn to it. I think he's drawn to worship. He's drawn to anybody that lifts up the name of Jesus, that develops that hunger and that heart for him. So I'm preaching about these practical things about the Holy Spirit because I want you to experience the Holy Spirit. We're coming up to Pentecost Sunday. We've got a few big weekends. We've got Pastor Mark next weekend. We've got Pastor Ian McCormack the following weekend. And then two more weeks after that, it's Pentecost Sunday. And I want you to come to church on Pentecost Sunday just hungry for the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit of God again and again and again. Would you stand to your feet with me? I want us to finish with a worship moment before we go and celebrate with some food and cake and free hospitality today, which is all wonderful. I'm so glad we're doing that, but this is really important right now. Why don't you lift up your hands? Let's just have a worship moment. He's so worthy. Come on.
Full from you are all things.
Holy Spirit.
Yes. And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things. You are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. The glory.
Let's sing, I exalt.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee.
My Lord.
Have a real freshness around us and about us in regards to the Holy Spirit. That, Father, we would know Him. That we would understand as much as we can what He's here to do in us, through us, and for us. There's a whole lot of good things that He's doing that we're not even aware of. And Father, help us to understand the preciousness of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what it is to speak with other tongues, what it is to be a bold witness for Jesus, Father, in a way that's practical, in a way that's meaningful, in a way that's life-changing in a way that impacts a community. Help us to be that church, Father. Lord, in Jesus' name I pray as we lead up to Pentecost Sunday. I am praying and believing for people to be freshly touched by the person and the power and the purpose of the Holy Spirit, Father, for you to turn circumstances, turn situations around and change lives in Jesus' name. So we're hungry for you, God. We're ready to go. We're students that are eager to learn. We want to be taught by the Holy Spirit. So we lean in today in Jesus' name. Father, bless our week this week, I pray. Bless our online community. Thank you for each one of them. Father, walk through us through every challenge and with every day and everything that this life, this week brings. And we're so grateful for today, this moment, 14 years today. And we celebrate this moment. We cheer this moment on, Father. We honor this moment together as a church in Jesus' name. Bless our city. Bless our city today. Our prayer is for our city to be rebuilt. Our prayer is for the good news to shine in every dark spot in our city. Our prayer is that the churches across our city would come together to do something great and wonderful in our city. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you, church. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you to our online community. Have an amazing week. Cafe's open. It's all free hospitality today for us. So go and enjoy. And the only thing you need to buy is coffee, I think, if you want a coffee. Otherwise, everything else is free. If you're new today, why don't you take a few moments to hang around, meet some people today, enjoy some fine food together. Thank you. Thank you.